Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the Jumbo Shrimp Department here at Car Talk Plaza. You know, I say that in memory of George Carlin, who just passed away, because more than anybody, he famously pointed out inherent contradictions in common phrases like jumbo shrimp, right?
Yeah, how about military intelligence?
and he did a lot of funny stuff with language, most of which, of course, we can't mention on the air.
Yeah, but he was a great observer of the meanings of words and expressions. He was the one who famously said, "Think about how stupid the average person is." And by definition, half the people are stupider than that. I mean, that's a brilliant observation.
Even though he was talking about your half of the population, by the way. You know, but he also accepted nothing that came from any institution of authority. And that led him to be fiercely skeptical about what? Religion.
Yeah.
For instance, he once observed that football players often point to the sky in thanks when they make a great catch and score a touchdown. You know, they'll stop and then, you know, make the motion.
Yeah.
But you never see them point when they drop the ball and say, "Hey, what the hell was that about, big guy?"
Yeah, he did ask a lot of good questions. Like, I remember he said, "If cockpit voice recorders are indestructible, why don't they just make the whole airplane out of a big cockpit voice recorder?"
Good question, right? And while he was sometimes accused of being, what you say, misanthropic, I don't think he really disliked the human race. He just wished we all weren't so, what, stupid.
Yeah.
And he was more appalled by our collective behavior and instincts. I found this quote where he said, "You know, the very existence of flamethrowers proves that sometime, somewhere, someone said to themselves, 'You know, I want to set those people over there on fire, but I'm just not close enough to get the job done.'"
I mean, he's right, isn't he? Someone had to say that.
Of course.
Of course, my favorite George Carlin quote is probably the one about tattoos. He said, "I like a girl with a tattoo. It shows that she has the capacity to do something that she'll really regret the next morning."
Anyway, we'll miss you, George. You added immeasurably to our culture while you were here. Of course, we don't know where you're going, because George didn't believe in heaven or hell.
Yeah.
In fact, he once said, "What if you meet your maker and it's Frito-Lay?"
Yeah, that would be bad. Well, we'll hope for the best for you, Giorgio.
Well, if you have a question about your car, your car's maker, or anything else, give us a call at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi there. This is Mark from Telluride, Colorado.
Telluride.
Small little mountain town way out in the southwest corner of Colorado, about 10,000 feet altitude.
I happen to know exactly where it is.
Well, come on over. We're having a great day.
Yeah.
I have a 97 Subaru Outback.
Okay.
And we have this issue that the dealer said it will cost us $700 for them to tell us what the issue is. So I'd rather just call you guys.
Okay.
It's a manual stick transmission, and when it's cold out, it will pop out of first gear when you start to drive, and it does not shift easily between gears, like between second and third, third and fourth, upshifting or downshifting. It got fixed once a couple of years ago when I let my mom drive it, and she ground all the gears down, and that worked well for a couple of years, but now it's broken again.
So he wants how much? $700
to tell me what's
to
wrong.
To diagnose it.
Right.
And that $700 is going to get you squat. For $700, he's going to take out your transmission.
Yeah.
Right.
He's going to take it apart. At that point, he will call you with this kind of a voice. "Oh, hello, Mark. This is Joe from the dealership.
You're not going to like this.
I had to report that it's going to cost you $3,700 to rebuild your transmission." Because for $700, all he's going to do is determine that the synchronizers have been all chewed up by, who did this, your mother?
Yeah.
Thank God it wasn't your mother-in-law. And a better thing to do, perhaps, is to just not even deal. You know this transmission's toast.
It is toast. And you don't have to spend $700 to find it out.
You just found it out for free.
Right.
What you need to do is replace this transmission, and you can replace it with a used one.
What you want to make is a trip to the junkyard.
But, I mean, this has been running like this for years. Can I just keep going?
Well, it pops out of first.
Only when it's cold out does it pop out of first.
Well, it's cold but a lot there, isn't
how
it?
How hard is it to get it into all the other gears?
Once you've lined up the gears, it goes in very, very easily.
Oh.
When you say once you've lined them up, what does that mean?
Well, sometimes you'll be shifting, for example, from third into fourth.
Yeah.
And instead you'll go from third into second.
Oh, does the shifter feel very loose?
Yes.
Oh, you know, it may be that there's something else going on, which could... Did he drive the car?
I mean, I would hope so. They had it at the dealership. I didn't actually go through their diagnostic steps.
Geez, I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't drive it. In fact, what I would fix first is the sloppy shifter. There are a bunch of relay rods and bushings that attach the shift handle, the thing that comes up through the center of the console.
Uh-huh.
That is connected to a bunch of relay rods, and which are supported with bushings. And it's possible that if those are all worn out, then you're not going to be able to find the gears, and that could be responsible for it popping out of any of the gears, especially if it's not fully engaged.
And why does this happen more in cold weather?
Well, because the linkage shrinks in cold weather.
Yeah, I have that problem.
You know about shrinkage, right?
Yeah.
You watch Seinfeld? Well, in any event, that's the more likely scenario, I think. And I think what happened is they may be taking you for a ride, or maybe it wasn't diagnosed correctly. They didn't go that next step. So what they really want to do is take the transmission out and sell you a transmission rebuild and the shifter linkage rebuild. And it may be that I was wrong about the price. It's going to be $4,700.
You know, this call is getting worse by the minute.
No,
it's not.
It's getting better and better.
It's getting better.
I think you need to take it to yet another shop and show them how sloppy the shifter is. And I think whenever you leave your car someplace, I don't care if it's at a dealership or at an independent shop, but I know the guys at the dealership have those layers of insulation, so the person who ultimately looks at your car is not the one that ever gets to talk to you. And more than that, you can't ever take that person for a test drive. But you go to Joe's gas station, and Joe is there. Joe's going to take a test drive with you. That's what you want. And you want that person to sit in your car and say, geez, Mark, this shifter is really sloppy. Or if he doesn't say that, you say, hey, Joe, is that got anything to do with anything, that sloppy shifter? Maybe you ought to fix that first. So I would do that. If that shifter's all over the place, then it would explain why it's hard getting into the gears, because you can't find them, because the geometry is all wrong with all those worn-out parts. And it'll pop out of gear if it's not ever fully engaged in said gear.
Right.
Get the shifter taken care of first. That may fix all your problems. If it doesn't, then you can explore the used transmission, which may be $500 or $600 or $700. But you're much better off putting $700 into a used transmission than into a diagnostic.
No, I agree.
Which is going to tell you nothing except how much more misery is in store for you. Good luck, Mark.
Thank you very much.
All right. Try not to cry until you're off the air. See you later, man.
He's crying now.
Where do we hang up? 888-CAR-TALK.
That's I hate to hear people cry.
I know. 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name is Carrie Stefani, and I am from Panama City Beach, Florida.
Panama City Beach.
Mm-hmm.
Where is that?
Well, it's near the city of Panama City. Right? It's another
little
town, right?
Yeah, it's one of the beach cities up on the Panhandle, part of the Emerald Coast.
Perfect.
It's like the spring break destination for million screaming, drunken. So you live there, huh?
I live there.
Why? Do you own a string of motels? Because that could be the only compelling reason for living there, I would think.
Well, my husband is in real estate, but we love the beach and the water is so gorgeous. And yes, spring break is madness, but we do love it.
And most of the kids are pretty well behaved. No, they're not.
No.
All right, take that back. Anyway, what's up?
What's up?
Well, my problem is we have a 2000 minivan, Nissan. And last year we started to hear this the sound when we would hit the brakes after any speed above 25 miles per hour. And it was kind of like a fan hitting something.
And did it change? Was it sometimes beep, 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 and sometimes beep, 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 depending on how fast you were going?
No, it would kind of go fast and then slow the harder I pushed the brakes. So, like, as I came to a complete stop, it would slow down. So it would go like that.
Got it.
Right.
And then we took it into the shop, and they said that they, cleaned something off. I want to say the brake or the rotor.
The rotors. They cleaned
the
rotors off. Maybe they cleaned some rust off of them, perhaps.
Okay. And then like a week later or so, maybe I'm going to say like 2 to 3 weeks later, we started hearing it again.
Hmm. When you went in that first time and they cleaned something, do you remember what they charged you for that?
Gosh, I don't know. Like, I'm going to say like in the range of 500 to 1,000.
Really?
2 to 6. Because we had actually gone in for something else and I can't remember.
Oh, so they did a bunch of other things and they did this thing too.
Yeah.
So the lion's share of that 500 or 600 was for like a new air freshener and you know, mats and stuff.
I got it.
Yeah. Okay. So it may be that they did very little work, but they could have done something significant. I mean, my first feeling, and I think Tommy would agree, is that you have a warped disc rotor.
Okay.
You know, and that will give you exactly that symptom you have, that click, 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 click. And if you're really careful, you can listen. If you drive next to some buildings on a quiet street, you may even be able to ascertain
which
of the four wheels it's coming from.
Okay.
And it would be good to do that so you can go back to them and say, yeah, the left front wheel is the one making the noise.
Okay.
And I think they'll be able to take the wheel and tire combination off. Mm-hmm. And with just the disc brake rotor there, they can put something called a dial indicator on it and see if any of those rotors, especially that one you think is faulty, is warped.
Okay.
So if they fixed it by cleaning it, it may be time to actually replace something.
Okay.
Yeah, it's another 600.
What a deal, huh?
Not to worry. It's not particularly dangerous. At least it doesn't sound that way.
Uh-huh.
But it's whenever brakes are concerned, it's not a bad idea to get someone to look at them as soon as possible.
Right.
After all, you do, you know, rely on them a little bit.
A little.
A little.
Yeah.
Good luck, Carrie. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey, do you know what time it is?
Time to put the HMS transmission rebuild in the water?
No. It's time to play Stump the Chumps. This is the part of the show where we dig up a caller from a previous show to see if they got good advice.
And if they did, I mean, who was filling in for us that week? So who's our lucky contestant, Johnny?
It's Dino from Twin Falls, Idaho, by way of Blackstone, Massachusetts. Remember Dino?
Everybody loves somebody
sometime. No, it's a different Dino. That's not him. This guy was in the witness protection program. I mean, Twin Falls, Idaho. Hello. Anyway, he was having trouble with his 2002 Dodge Neon.
After I go, even a short distance or a long distance, it don't matter. When I shut it off, it sounds like it's going to overheat. And, I just went to Boise and back, which is, like, 125 miles one way from here.
Yeah.
Never happened because it was under, like, 40 degrees.
Well, yeah, it's too cool. But I suspect that by the time summer rolls around,
that it will be.
This thing is going to be boiling over, and it's going to unseat the radiator cap and spew coolant all over the place.
Okay, yeah, because my wife works for Cisco Food, the big food company.
Oh, yeah.
Man, and she was putting 1,000 miles easy a week, and it never did it. But she doesn't notice those things. She says, if I heard it, I'd just put the radio louder. It's like, oh, okay. You know what I mean?
What's wrong with that?
So anyway, so besides this witness protection thing, why are you living out there?
I came out here for a year, and it's like, this place is incredible. I mean, people treat you really good. Even this first place that I ever lived where they treat me okay for being Italian. You know what I mean?
We'll be right out, Dino. So did we start talking real estate, or did we ever help Dino solve his car problem? I don't remember, but I do remember Dino. He was fun.
Yeah. We said it was either the thermostat or the water pump.
Uh-huh.
And we said start with the thermostat because it's what?
Cheaper.
Exactly.
Well, let's see how we did. Dino, are you there?
Yes.
Look,
how you doing?
We're doing
pretty good.
Look, before you fill us in, we have not spoken since your last appearance on Car Talk. Is that true?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
That's true.
Yeah. You can answer. You're not in the program now. You're good.
And is it also true that the answer you're about to give us has not been influenced by our staff, the staff of NPR, or by the family-sized carton of cannolis that we airlifted to you from Mike's Pastry Shop in the North End?
Okay, that's true.
So anyway, Dino, tell us what you tried.
Okay, well, you know what? It was right on target. It was the thermostat. I did that like a couple of days later. It was like a Wednesday afternoon. I just replaced the thermostat, and Like last week was the first time we hit 80 degrees out here.
Wow.
And it was perfect,
day,
right?
It snowed the next. We got 6 inches of snow the next day. And so this week it's really warm, but it hasn't done it at all now.
Oh,
so it was the thermostat.
Excellent.
So wow. You guys did a great job as far as that goes.
Oh, send the cannolis back then.
Yeah, well, see, I got congratulations to the Celtics. So with that money, because I live near Nevada, I bought a Jeep. So I'll be calling you guys in the future if something wrong with the Jeep.
Hey, it's a pleasure to know you, Dino.
Hey, thanks a lot. I really appreciate your help.
Good luck, man. And thanks for playing Stump the Chumps. You're a lot of fun.
Take care, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
If you hear someone you'd like us to bring back for Stump the Chumps, email us your suggestion from cartalk.com.
All right, look, let's discuss last week's puzzler.
Sure, sure, let's discuss it.
You want to try to remember it first?
Sure, let's remember it.
All right, do you remember what Bugsy said when you told him that you were going to start going home from work a little earlier in the day?
Yeah, he said if I went home any earlier, I'd pass myself coming in.
Exactly.
I do remember
And
that.
This puzzler was kind of about passing oneself on the way home, sort of.
Interesting. Well, I'm sure you'll have the whole story, as you always do, and the answer.
Yes, I will, and we'll have more of your car questions, too. So stay tuned. We'll be back in a minute.
And even though the Mars lander retracts its antennas and buries itself in Martian soil whenever it hears us say it, this is NPR National Public Radio.
Hey, if you find yourself thinking, you know, this show gets worse every time I hear it, why not check out some classic shows from our archives, like when we used to be good?
When was that?
It's just a figure of speech, you know?
You can download any show from the Car Talk archives at cartalk.com. Just click where it says listen to the show.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and, of course, the answer to last week's puzzler.
Mm.
And this was sent in by someone named Jim Blacksmith, and here's what he wrote. More or less.
Yeah.
More than less. My honey and I took a trip recently from Los Angeles to Monterey, a little weekend getaway, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We left L.A. on Friday morning at 7:10 a.m. The first 201 miles of the trip were on Highway 101, and we traveled at the normal freeway speed limit, plus a little, whenever we could.
Yeah.
At San Luis Obispo, we turned onto Highway 1 for the remaining 136 miles to Monterey. Now, Highway 1 is a beautiful but narrow and winding road that follows the coastline, so our speed was, of course, much slower. Still, we were eager to get to Monterey, so we only made the necessary fuel and schnurdling stops. When we finally arrived in Monterey, it was 2:35 on Friday afternoon.
Okay.
We had a wonderful time that weekend walking along Cannery Row, visiting the aquarium, mistaking the sea lions for long-lost relatives, and exploring the Steinbeck Museum in Salinas. On Monday, we got up, had a leisurely breakfast, and left for L.A. at 9:20 in the morning. We took the same exact route back to L.A., but this time we were not in any hurry. We stopped many times to take pictures and enjoy the scenic coastline along Highway 1. When we arrived home in L.A., it was 6:10 p.m. Monday evening, okay? So on the way home, we left at 9:20 in the morning and arrived at 6:10 p.m. You got all this?
I got it all. I got it written down, at least. I don't know what it means.
So we took the same route there as we did getting back, a total of 337 miles each way. But here's the question. What is the probability that there was a place along our route that we reached at the exact same time of day on our trip to Monterey and our return trip from Monterey? What's the probability?
Wow. That's great. That sounded so complicated.
Well, it did, except not really. Basically,
luckily, there's no calculations that we can do.
No.
You got to just shoot for it.
Well, here's the answer. Here's the way to look at it.
Yeah.
You're going to superimpose the two trips.
Yeah.
Assume that you have twins that are leaving Monterey.
Yeah.
On the same day that you are leaving L.A.
Got it.
Okay? They're leaving 2 hours later.
Yeah.
But they're leaving nonetheless.
Right.
Okay? And where you cross paths is that place.
Yeah.
You have to pass each other. The only way you might not pass each other is this. If you left L.A. at 7:10 and you got to Monterey at 9:19 a.m. Okay? So you did it in an hour and 9 minutes.
Right.
Okay? Then you wouldn't meet along the way. But that would require that you exceeded the speed limit. In fact, I'm pretty sure in order to do that, you'd have to travel like 160 miles an hour.
Right.
So you'd have to be in a Cessna.
Otherwise, you're going to pass each other.
But I think I stated in the original puzzle that we pretty much obeyed the speed limit. And if you obey the speed limit, there's no way that you can't pass. So the answer is the probability that you do this?
100%.
Exactly. So who's our winner?
The winner this week is Maggie Zeman from Atlanta, Georgia. And for having your answer selected at random from the pile of correct answers that we got, Maggie gets a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at CarTalk.com, with which she can get our brand new 4-CD set, Field Guide to the North American Wacko.
So if you're a regular listener, you may occasionally hear one of us utter the words, "Doesn't anyone screen these calls?" And if those are the kinds of calls that you enjoy hearing, well, we've got 4 CDs worth of them for you here.
That's right. So congratulations, Maggie, on your enormous win today.
Yes, indeed. And we have a brand new puzzler coming up in the third half of the show, but not before we screw up a few more answers. You can give us raw material for that at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Kristen from Eugene, Oregon.
Kristen with a K?
Yes.
Ah.
Yeah, we got you. What's up, Kristen?
Well, we have a 2005 Saturn View, and about a month and a half ago, we went camping with my husband's car and with the View.
That's exactly the vehicle to have if you're going to go camping, right?
Well, it is when we have two kids and a big dog.
Yeah, and you get a good view, too.
Yeah.
Oh, bad.
That we do out here in Oregon. So the air conditioner had been working in the car before we got camping, and then we had a little incident on the way there, and I rear-ended my husband's Corolla. Not enough that it didn't need damage that you can physically see, but the next day when I was driving back into town to get more camping supplies, it was very hot, and I tried to put the air conditioner on, and it doesn't create any cool air.
Wait, so you were driving the View.
I was.
And you rear-ended him.
I did.
You were going somewhere in two cars.
We were, because we have so much
junk
stuff for the kids, and our dog is so big that we couldn't fit everything in the back.
Oh, so you had to take...
No, that makes sense. I think a lot of people make the mistake, oddly enough, of buying the one humongous thing.
Oh, yeah, that's
like
a bad idea.
Like an 8-seater Sequoia. Those few times, you're almost better off taking two cars, even though on that particular trip you would have done better with the one big one, perhaps. But you're not driving that one big one all the rest of the time that you're not camping.
Yeah,
anyway, that's another story.
All the people who have SUVs are trying to get rid of them. So this would be a good time to buy one.
Oh, we bought you one for your birthday. Anyway, okay. Kristen, so you rear-ended your husband with the View.
That's correct.
And what you did when you did that, even though you didn't do any damage, is you probably cracked the condenser.
Oh.
And the condenser is the radiator through which the refrigerant circulates. And when that leaked out, you didn't smell it or hear it or feel it or anything.
Probably not.
No, because it's colorless, odorless, you know, and all that stuff. And had you been right there and with your hand in front of the leak, your hand might have frozen.
Okay.
As that refrigerant escaped, because the pressure drop would have dropped the temperature. But I'm guessing that's what you did.
Is that pretty simple to fix?
No. You mean like how much money?
Yes.
No, it's hundreds.
Easy.
Okay.
It's many hundreds. Yeah. I mean, when you say there was no damage to the car.
Right.
Is that like a relative term? Like you, no damage means I can still open the doors?
No, there's absolutely no damage to the bumper on the front of the View or the back of the Corolla.
Is this because there were so many dents in it already?
No,
you can't distinguish between the old one and the new one?
Although maybe with my husband's Corolla, my kids call it the crapmobile, but no. My car, it looks perfect.
It does.
Well, there certainly is a possibility that you blew a fuse or something like that, and before you bemoan the idea that you're going to have to spend $900 to fix this, you ought to, at the very least, check the fuses, because you could have popped the fuse.
Okay.
You know, so you can do that yourselves, or you can take it someplace and have them check. But I think whoever checks it will know immediately if you've lost your refrigerant. It's very simple to determine.
Yeah.
Okay.
See you, Kristen.
Well, thank you so much.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
You too. Bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Hans from Seattle, Washington.
What's going on, man?
Well, I've got this loud squealing noise coming from my drive belt area, like where the alternator is.
Yeah.
And it started about 2 months after I bought the car. I've had the car for just under a year. And it comes on and goes off, sometimes randomly. And it's louder when I accelerate. And along with this problem, it hasn't been starting.
What kind of a car is it?
It is a 1983 Volvo GL.
Oh, jeez.
It's got 281,000 miles. I'm the fourth owner.
So too bad it didn't stop with the third owner.
Yeah.
Now, when you say it won't start, does it crank?
No.
It'll kind of go, rawr, rawr, and then it won't do anything, and then I'll try again, and then no sound.
Right, and then you get it started by jumping it with another battery, and then it starts right up.
Yeah.
Well, your immediate problem is that the battery goes dead.
Yeah, right.
And the battery goes dead because the screeching noise that you complained about is not allowing the alternator to charge up the battery. And the alternator is driven by a belt, which is loose. I'm guessing either loose or the alternator is binding up.
Well, I took my car to Chuck's, and they told me it might be the water pump. So I replaced the water pump, and I had the alternator checked out, and they said it was fine.
Did they replace the belt? There's one belt that drives. I believe there's a pair of belts.
Yeah, it's a pair of belts, and it's kind of loose right now, and I've been trying to tighten them.
Well, that's the problem. Who did this, Chuck?
I did.
You did, huh?
Uh-huh.
I did, yep.
Oh.
I sure did.
Oh, okay. So you installed a new water pump, and that didn't fix it, but what you didn't do was install new belts. And it may be that the belts need to be replaced because they're all cracked and glazed. So when you're driving it around, instead of making electricity to replace the stuff you're using for like the headlights and the wipers, you're draining down the battery as you drive. So you're running as if you didn't have any belts on there at all, perhaps. And you're sucking down electricity out of the battery. And the longer you drive it, the weaker the battery gets. And then the next morning you try to start it and the battery says, no. I don't think so. So I think that the first order of business here for you, Hans, is new belts.
And suspenders. The whole thing.
To be on the safe side. Go the whole enchilada.
Right.
Yeah, and if you were capable of tackling the water pump, you could certainly put belts on.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'm looking at it right now. You want to hear it? I might be able to start it up.
Go ahead.
Sure, give it a
sure.
shot.
We need a laugh.
Let's see.
Ready?
Oh,
that's dead as a doornail. Now, it may be, Hans, that you have ruined this battery, too. And it may be that you need a battery as well. So when these guys tested it, did they test the battery?
They sure did, yeah. They put a connector on it and made sure the charge was fine. And they said it was okay, but they also said the alternator was okay. So.
How long did they spend doing the test?
About 3 minutes.
No, they screwed it up. In order to test, well, I'm just telling you, the way this battery sounds right now, there's no valid test that could be done to this battery without first charging it.
So you think I need a new battery?
Well, you might. You might. But I would say take it someplace, have the battery fully charged first. You know, it takes at least a half an hour with some of the quick chargers, at least a half an hour, and then you go ahead and test it. So you need somebody to hook up and at once test your alternator and the battery and the, you know, cold cranking power of the battery and all that stuff.
All right.
And you'll find out it's going to cost you $900 to fix it. You'll never call again.
Well, you know what? It's not even making a sound anymore. I think my call just fixed the sound.
Well, because it's absolutely dead. Dead people don't make sounds either.
It may need two in the hat, Hans. It may have come to the end of the line, but I'm hoping that you can rejuvenate it.
All right.
Good luck. Get it jumped and drive it someplace, and make sure they do a thorough test. And when they tell you that you need a new battery and maybe a new alternator and new belts, that may do it.
But that's what you're going to need.
I'm guessing you'll need two out of those three.
All right.
Good luck, man.
Good luck.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, my name is Erin, and I'm calling from Morgantown, West Virginia.
Erin.
Yes.
Morgantown, West Virginia.
Morgantown.
Uh-huh. It's very hilly. It's very nice.
What do you do there in Morgantown, West Virginia?
I'm a student at WVU.
Oh, you're a student.
I would have thought you were a teacher. How about that?
Are you on your way to becoming a teacher?
No. I'm getting my degree in biology.
Really? And how close to it are you?
Well, hopefully just one more semester, hopefully.
Oh, so you screwed up. You were supposed to graduate this year and you didn't make it, huh?
Yeah.
How were the folks with that? Were they all right?
Yeah.
Well, I just have to ask, we've had a few friends and ourselves. It happens to the best of us,
I mean, my brother's parents were beside themselves when this happened to them. Of course, it happened like four times.
Well, I do have the sweatshirt that says class of 70 crossed out, class of 71 crossed out, class of 72, bingo. Anyway, but some things take time. But anyway, Erin, what's going on?
Okay, well, I drive a 96 GeoTracker SUV, and it started making this funny noise. And it sounds like a bumblebee trapped in a tin can.
Can you make the noise? Embarrass yourself.
Yeah, go ahead.
Like a... not like that. Like a... Okay, no. I'm terrible at sound effects. It's like everything's all milk and honey. I'm driving, and then it gets to 20 or 2100 RPMs, and then it's like rubbing sandpaper. And then as soon as I pass that, it's milk and honey.
Right. I know exactly what it is.
Oh.
And it's benign. Well, we think.
Okay.
Just noise that you hear, this.
Yeah?
Is that the noise?
Pretty close, huh?
Pretty close. Yeah. But this is a fun thing, though. The fun thing is that I can make it last. I can make it go really short.
Yeah, if you hang in there at 2100 RPM,
yeah,
you can make it last.
Exactly.
Because you have hit what's called the resonant frequency of that piece of metal.
Wherever it may be.
Wherever it may be, that's vibrating and making this...
Yeah, and maybe if you wait it long enough, when you get to 2300 RPM, it'll be a completely different noise. Get to 2500 RPM, it'll be yet another wonderful noise, and you'll be able to make
a
music.
Symphony, right?
I love my car talk.
You could do one of two things. You could take it to a repair shop. They will put it up on the lift. You can sit in the vehicle.
And rev it up.
Bring it up to 2100 RPM, because it'll do this, I'm sure you've noticed, even if you're not moving.
Uh-huh.
When you do that, the shop that you're in will be able to find this loose piece of sheet metal. It's probably a piece of your exhaust system or a hanger or a bracket or a heat shield or something like that.
And the guy standing underneath the lift will say, "Is it gone?" And you'll say, "Yes, it's gone."
Yeah, because he took it off.
Because it's in his hand.
Yeah, either he's taking it off or sometimes...
Or he put his hand on it.
Right. Sometimes just touching it will let him know that this piece needs to be tack welded to the piece it was supposed to be attached to. So that's real easy.
Easy enough that I could do it?
Well, you could, but you don't want to get underneath. You're going to have someone else get underneath it, or you'll have to get underneath it.
Okay.
But I would take it someplace.
Don't do it. It's
real cheap.
Okay.
Yeah.
Don't go underneath the car. That's dangerous.
I know, but it would be nice. Because it would be like real bonding time with my car, you know?
You don't want to bond that way.
The car's not that interested in you. See you later, Erin.
Okay, thank you.
Good luck.
Bye-bye. All right, look. It's almost time for the new puzzler.
Yeah, but before we get to the puzzler, we usually have to do some things, right?
Yeah.
Some underwriting. Station ID things.
Yeah, and come up with a puzzler.
Right, that too.
Well, I'm working on it, man.
Can you at least tell us what series it's from?
Yes. Well, most kids are out of school now.
Yeah.
So I thought this puzzler would be from my out-of-school series, just recently out of school. I want to keep those little brains sharp.
Great.
Whilst they're doing nothing else, they can think about the Puzzler.
Okay. We'll have that and more of your car questions in the third half of the show, which is coming up in like a minute.
Stay tuned.
Pack up what you carry, leave all this junk behind, and say goodbye to your Sultan. We'll drive down Highway 9. Can make a deal with devil when you see the deck is shot. Can't run from troubles. You can drive, 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 drive. You can drive, drive, drive.
And even though Scott Simon makes a note to pick up extra batteries for his noise-canceling headphones whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR, National Public Radio. Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and, of course, the new Puzzler. And this is this is for the kids in summer school. No, the kids out of school for the summer. So you can keep your little brain sharp. And I didn't want to make it too difficult because, after all, summer is a time to, you know, renew, regenerate. You
relax.
Know, relax. Relearn. What? Relate. And all those re-things.
Yeah.
Here it is. This came from Lou Gottlieb. Now, everyone knows what an omelet is, right?
I think so.
Well, an omelet is made with scrambled eggs that are only scrambled in the bowl and not scrambled in the pan. Right? So an omelet is that thing that's kind of folded over, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So he says, I was at a restaurant the other day, and there was a sign that said, all of our omelets are made with three eggs. And I looked at the menu and realized that there was maybe a Puzzler here. You ready for this?
Yeah.
The first three omelets were cheese omelet, $7.45. Bacon omelet, $7.70. Bacon and cheese omelet, $8.45. The question is, what's the plain omelet cost? Just the eggs, no bacon, or no cheese? So that's the question.
It, huh?
How much? Yep. This is a summer school question. How much does the plain omelet cost? If you think you know the answer, write it on the bottom of a Staybell and Associates Aristocrat 84 Armoire / Cigar Humidor. This must be for my brother. In light brown mahogany with temperature and humidity control, custom side inlay panels, adjustable shelves, of course, custom labeling system naturally, and a certificate good for 10 free chest x-rays. And send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238.
Or you can email us your answer from cartalk.com.
But right now, if you have a car question for us, we're at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Mike from Bainbridge Island, Washington.
Bainbridge.
Near Seattle.
Cool. What's going on, Mike?
I've got a 2006 Honda CR-V, and I've got a ghost in the front end.
Uh-huh.
I get this noise when I'm turning probably past 45 degrees. I start to get a ghostly sound from the front end, and it happens whether I'm turning right or left, and it's mostly when I'm going slow. Actually, I asked my wife, I said, "Do you hear that? Did you hear that noise?" And she said, "What noise?" So I made the noise for her, and she said, "Yes." And I said, "You know, I'm going to call Car Talk and see what's going on." She said, "Don't do that." And I said, "Why?" And she said, "They'll make you make the noise on the radio, and I don't want you to."
Here you go.
You bet.
So, you want to make the noise?
All right, here it goes. So when I'm turning, and it's a little past 45 degrees, it goes, ooh.
And how, you seem confident that it's coming from the front, but our experience tells us that the noise is probably coming from the back.
Really?
Yeah. This vehicle, because it's all-wheel drive, has to have three differentials. It has one between the two front wheels, one between the two rear wheels, and one between the pair of fronts
and the backs.
And the pair of backs, because all-wheel drive vehicles, where all the wheels are turning all the time, have to be able to allow all four wheels to turn at different speeds, especially when you're making tight turns.
Uh-huh.
And that center differential is what allows that. It's not a problem if you're on ice or snow or mud or whatever, but if you're on a smooth, dry road, that center differential has to do its job, and that the thing is housed in the same box that holds the rear differential.
You're doing.
And we found out on Hondas, if you don't change that fluid, you must have like 50,000 miles.
No, actually, I've got less than 30 on it.
Really? That's unusual.
Yeah.
But I suppose it could happen. Either the fluid is low or it's dirty, you know, overworked. And if that's the case, that coupling in there is making that noise. So I'm going to suggest that the noise is coming from the back because all the symptoms suggest that that's what it is.
So it's the center differential and the fluid in the center differential.
Yeah, the fluid that lubricates that also lubricates the rear differential.
Okay.
So when you go to the dealer or wherever you take it, they'll know to change that fluid. And I bet you that'll make it go away.
Great advice.
All right, well, it's probably
it's
wrong.
It's not as big a problem as I thought it was going to be.
It sounded good, didn't it?
Yes.
Good luck, Mike.
All right. Thanks a lot,
thanks
guys.
For your call.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
888.
Why was his wife afraid that he was going to have to make the sound?
Well, she wasn't afraid. She was afraid.
Embarrassed
that
by it.
He must embarrass her all the time.
Oh, that's it.
Like we do.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, no, I understand how that could happen.
Yeah, I mean, no one really wants to be seen with us in public, especially our kids. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. A lawyer on Car Talk.
Hi there. This is Cassidy calling from Middle Tennessee.
Cassidy. How are you, Cassidy?
Cassidy.
I'm real well today.
From Middle Tennessee?
Yeah, Dowelltown.
Dowell.
Dowell? D-O-W-E-L?
Yeah, two L's, but Dowelltown.
Oh, but somebody named Dowell. Right.
Perhaps. Oh. I've never met the Dowell, but...
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
So what's up, Cassidy?
Well, I have this Nissan pickup, and the choke is giving me a lot of trouble.
How old is this Nissan pickup?
That's kind of a subject to debate. The title says 86, but half the time when I get a part, I need it to be 85.
Oh, it could have a choke.
Yeah, and it's got an air filter that sits over the carburetor. And when I change the oil, I check out the air filter.
Yeah.
And several months ago, I pulled a screw out of it and realized it was holding the choke flap onto the carburetor. So I put it back. But the next time I did this, I found two screws and the choke flap fallen down into the canister. And it had been running pretty rough. But by the third time this happened, I just stripped the choke off. And I'm kind of curious as to when the truck is going to stop running.
So the choke is a plate
Yes. That
slides through a slotted shaft, okay, and is held in place by two little set screws.
Well, the plate itself was just falling into the carburetor.
Oh, because the screws had come out.
Oh.
The screws wind up in the air filter.
They wind up in the air filter.
Yes,
how
that's
can they
correct.
Do? Wait a minute, that's the wrong direction.
Oh, well,
they should end up in the carburetor.
They should end up in one of the cylinders going bing, 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 bing.
Oh, I'm glad that didn't happen.
So
yeah, we are too.
So, I mean, those screws, they're very small screws.
That's true.
How could they, when the engine is running, there's tremendous suction that's pulling all the air in through the carburetor to mix that air with the gasoline to affect combustion. And anything, that's why you have an air filter there, by the way, because it would pull in, you know, anything else, tree pollen, frogs, you name it, and screws. So that suction is so powerful that it would pull anything in its path right down the throat of the carburetor and ultimately into one or more of the cylinders. So for those screws to jump out of there and wind up in the air cleaner housing doesn't seem likely. But we'll give you a chance to explain yourself. Go ahead. Multiple times.
It's not just that they're lolling around in the air filter. They're wedged into the air filter.
Into the filter itself.
Yeah, that's correct.
Into the paper of the filter.
That's right.
Oh, it's backfiring then.
Oh.
Right? So when you start the thing up, if the choke is not closing and you're trying to run the engine on a very lean mixture, it's going boop, 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 and backfiring through the carburetor.
Ah.
Is that happening?
You know, only in a mild sense, but I do get the occasional pop, pop, yes.
Yeah.
Well, you are very fortunate that those
pops... You certainly are. You have saved yourself an engine.
Oh, and I love this engine.
So now that you have the screws, you want to put them back into this choke, but you want to make sure that they don't get lost again.
That's correct.
Yeah.
And the way to ensure
that,
is to put something called Loctite on them.
Oh, I can just use Loctite?
You have Loctite?
Oh, yeah.
You already have it. You're all set.
You're good to go.
Put them in. Lather them up first.
Yeah.
And put the screws back in as tight as you can. And that's it.
All right.
Now, it may be that the choke is not closing enough, and that's why you've got backfiring, or maybe your ignition timing is off, or so you may have other issues.
In fact,
I'd be surprised if you didn't have other issues. I mean, not you, but the truck.
Yeah, well, the truck's seen a lot of turf, a lot of country, and it does have its own little issues, but it's a real reliable machine, and I like it a lot.
So what do you do with this truck that you need a pickup truck?
Well, it's a little pickup truck, but I have a big flock of chickens and a little herd of sheep.
Well, once you get these screws back in, you should be able to take the chickens and sheep for a ride. You know, let them see the countryside. Anyway, Cassidy, good luck.
Thanks for the advice.
See you later. Bye-bye.
Bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Brett calling from Charlottesville, Virginia.
Hey, Brett, what's cooking, man?
Well, I'm looking for some sage avuncular advice from you.
Yeah, that's us.
I'm wedded to my car.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find out from you guys if I'm nuts for keeping it.
Well, I'll tell you right off the bat that none of my nephews or nieces ever listens to me. So as far as the avuncular advice, we may be lacking there, but go ahead.
And what kind of car is this?
It's a 1993 Suzuki Swift.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And how many miles on it?
There's only 92,000 miles.
Practically brand new.
Yeah, and it gets incredible mileage. If I get less than 50 miles to the gallon, I'm in mourning. I've gotten as high as 61.5 miles to the gallon in it.
Wow.
Oh.
Yeah, it's not an ego thing in the least, needless to say. I'm 6'5", and when I get out of it, people look for the other clowns behind me to climb out. But I need to find out if I'm being an idiot to think that I should keep it.
Well, why would you think that?
It got vandalized.
Ah.
Somebody broke into it in the middle of the day. It was parked in my warehouse. They broke the back window and broke the locking mechanism for the steering wheel.
Oh. Uh-huh.
My friend found it at the opposite end of the warehouse, crashed into a pole.
Huh.
And so I brought it to my mechanic, and I thought, well, I can piece this thing back together. Everybody was laughing at me for even thinking of keeping it. And I said, I'm not going to give this thing up. There's no way.
When you say everyone was laughing, who's everyone?
Friends and
family,
and coworkers.
Is there any chance that this may have been an intervention?
Well, that
I mean, just a thought,
people have wondered if maybe some of my employees were trying to just, you know, get rid of the car before the car gets rid of me.
Yeah.
But they did, you know, a certain amount of damage, and I was not deterred, and I brought it to my mechanic. He thought they bent the strut.
No.
Well, he called me and said, the frame is bent.
Oh.
And when I heard that...
And this happened inside a building?
Yeah, an old abandoned warehouse.
Well, don't forget what you're dealing with here. You're dealing with a Suzuki Swift.
Yeah.
Which is like one step up from a, you know, radio flyer wagon. You know, it's pretty flimsy.
Yeah.
And I will tell you, and that's obviously the reason, you know, because it's so small and light, that's the reason you're getting 63 miles to the gallon.
Right.
But you are sacrificing safety.
I know all this.
You know all this. Okay.
But I'm a tightwad.
We knew that already.
Right.
We knew that going in. Do you have family, friends? I mean, you have wife, children, significant others?
No dependents.
No dependents.
Ah.
Probably because of this car.
Maybe because of the car.
And that's why, right.
And it makes
perfect sense.
And the car may keep you from ever having any dependence. So this car is not going to get, not going to improve your social life, but
no,
if you're determined to keep driving a car that has a low-tech solution to getting high mileage, this is the car.
Right.
And what kind of driving do you do?
Oh, I make deliveries with it for my business around town, and then I just drive it to and from work.
You have an airbag for the driver.
No.
This car does not have a driver, a 93?
No.
Oh.
Really?
But I want to know is, as soon as I heard the frame was bent, I could hear my father saying, well, does this car have a unibody?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, such as it is. It's unicardboard, actually.
Right. But, you know, I remember my father telling me years ago, when cars have a unibody, it takes nothing to total them.
That's correct.
And they're never straight.
Yeah.
Even if these guys claim they can straighten it, am I being foolish for keeping it?
Yeah, I think you are. Because
really?
Now that we know it doesn't, I thought this car had an airbag, and I don't know at what point they...
I think it maybe has a Glad bag.
Glad bag. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, or a barf bag or something.
Right.
I don't know. But anyway, so without an airbag...
It's very questionable.
You know, and the thing is, you can probably buy something now that's not going to get this quite this kind of mileage. But if you bought an interim car,
right,
There may be a few things coming out in a couple of years that are going to beat the pants off of this.
In terms of safety or mileage or both?
Well, both.
Both.
Really?
Both. I mean, Toyota, for example, is coming out with some car that's like a few inches longer than the smart car, but it's going to be a four-seater, and it's probably going to be a plug-in hybrid. You know, so there are these kinds of cars coming out. Who knows what else is going to come out?
But this would be a new vehicle that I
would use. Yeah, you're going to have to spring for something new, yeah.
Yeah.
Either that or, you know, join a monastery for 10 years and come out and buy one.
Exactly.
Used. Okay. But short of that, yeah, you might have to spring for a new one, but there'll be all kinds of new technologies that will get you better mileage and will give you a lot more safety. You have no safety. You have no side airbags in this thing.
Yeah,
you have no front airbag.
No body.
Yeah.
But aside from just the inherent lack of safety of this vehicle,
yeah,
which I've known about all along.
Yeah, no, we know that. Is there any reason not to keep it going? The answer is no.
The answer is no.
The answer is no.
Yeah.
Okay, so the bent frame is not inherently going to add to the danger of driving this vehicle.
Well, it will add to the danger if the thing can't be aligned. The bent frame has to be straightened out to the extent that the car can be aligned, all four wheels. I'm guessing if it bent the strut, it probably didn't bend the frame. I don't know what they could have done to it in the confines of your building.
Yeah,
but he said where the control arm bolts into the frame, that's where it's bent.
Oh, that's fixable.
Oh, good.
That's fixable.
Yeah.
And usually control arm bends first.
Oh, okay.
But when the frame is made of cardboard like yours, the frame usually gets, you know. So I would take it to a competent body shop, and when they stop laughing, they'll give you an estimate.
Okay, and I may be willing to spend some money to get a different vehicle that maybe is more attractive.
Yeah, well, try to get one with an airbag if you can,
okay.
At least one.
Okay.
Yeah, you sound like a nice guy. I mean, you know, you'd be hard to talk to if you were going, because your face had been mashed into the windshield. So an airbag would be a good thing.
Yeah, okay. That sounds like good avuncular advice.
All right. See you, Brett.
Thanks a lot.
Take care.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Well, it's happened again. You squandered another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk.
Mm.
Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. What about Frogman and cute promos? Our associate producers are Louis Cronin the Barbarian and David the Calves of Belleville Green. Our senior web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati, and our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor. Just back from the Tenafly, ham on rye, chicken thigh, shrimp pad thai, cold fish eye, matzo brie, apple pie, decaf chai, Canada Dry, stop on by, is John Bugsy Lawler. Oh, my God. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marge Inovera. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our physical therapist is Estelle Hoyts. Our director of laptop repair is Eustace Hammer. Our luncheon chef is Hannah Mia Canatuna. Our optometric firm is CFI Care. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. The head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the almost tenured bricklayers in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And, of course, don't drive like my brother.
And, of course, don't drive like my brother.
Ditto. We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. CDs of the show, which is number 826, along with Car Talk clothing, audio collections, and other Car Talk gifts, are available at 888-CAR-JUNK or by going to the Shameless Commerce division of our website, cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, see the first ever public photos of the, are you ready for this?
Uh-huh.
Click and Clack guitar.
Huh?
Yeah,
what's
beats
this?
Me, but a major guitar company, who we don't want to name because we don't want to embarrass them, decided to make a special Click and Clack edition acoustic guitar.
So what makes it a click and clack guitar? Like, does it leak oil?
Yeah, you have to wear a special smock when you play it.
No, really, what makes it a special click and clack guitar?
Well, see for yourself. Get a sneak peek at the first ever, and certainly last ever, click and clack branded musical instrument all this week at cartalk.com.
Maybe the sound it makes can be confused with a backfire. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though Carl Castle wonders if they're still looking for bouncers at the Key West Applebee's whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR, National Public Radio.